Hi, my name is Kristen Davis, and I'm a bivocational Christian apologist. I run a software development team, and I also am a co-founder of Apologetics on Missions.
Kristen Davis, welcome to the Lanier Library and the Stone Chapel Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a delight to have you. Your first time here.
It is.
What is initial impressions? Just quick impressions. You've been here about 20 minutes altogether.
It's beautiful. I want to come back.
Well, we hope you will on a number of occasions. We have a great library here, 106,000 volumes of print, and then we have a 600,000 volume digital library. And we have people coming from all over the world to come and study for short periods or long periods. And
that's amazing.
We'd love to see you come back sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So let's begin with, who is Kristen Davis?
Well, I have been doing Christian apologetics and ministry since about 2010. Mm. I was raised in church and Christian school, but somehow still missed the boat and wasn't really a Christian. I was a nominal Christian, and that didn't really have any legs. So when I went away to college, nobody questioned my faith. But I fell away just because it wasn't cool. It wasn't fun to follow the...
It wasn't fashionable to follow the faith, right?
Yes. And obviously that just didn't sustain for a very long time, and my life ended up falling apart. But in the midst of that, I ended up taking a creation science class and biblical archaeology class because I loved studying the Bible, even though I wasn't really sure it was true. And that actually saved my faith. And so for a number of years...
That particular course...
Yes. Yeah. Well, wow. Those two. Yes.
Okay. Those two courses.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, for a number of years, my faith was fed and strengthened and grew as a result of what I was learning in school. I ended up transferring to Liberty and did an undergrad there, and then moved on to a master's at Biola in Christian apologetics. And it was really through that, even more so than actual church attendance, that my faith became something real and foundational.
But there's a community that grows up around that, right? There's scholars that you listen to, and there are other students that you feed off of as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. The last 8 years...
In a way, that becomes like a church.
It does.
In a way, right? It's not exactly church, but it's a community of support.
Yes.
And pointing you to God and to Christ.
Yes, and it's been a very unique experience. I have been at Southern Evangelical Seminary for the last 8 years doing my... it's almost 8 years, doing my PhD in philosophy of religion, which I'm going to graduate in May.
Yay, congratulations. So we can call you Dr. Kristen.
Yes.
Point.
And that's been really foundational in the community for me. I've ended up, actually, Apologetics on Mission was in part born out of my time there, as well as my relationships that I built from Biola, because I've been doing missions work with Ratio Christi in South Africa on and off for the past 5 years as a result of SES. So,
wow, very cool. Yeah. Now, you talked about being bivocational. What's the other side of Kristen Davis?
So I work for a Fortune 300 company, a financial tech company, doing systems integration. So I run a software development team, and we build custom applications to integrate a variety of different applications to help this one particular department be able to see a one-stop shop of kind of everything going on in their environment.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now, did that come out of your college work, or did that come out of other kind of experience that you developed?
Yeah, it was. I actually worked at the Duval County Courthouse for a little while when I was going to college, and I ended up getting transferred into the IT department by sheer divine providence.
Yeah.
And there were some software developers in there, and I was like, this is kind of interesting.
It's kind of cool stuff, huh?
Yeah. I tried a computer science degree for a while. I got 3/4 of the way through and then got an internship that turned into a full-time job and was like, now I'm going to study the Bible. So
Yeah. Well, that's very, very, very cool.
Yeah.
So you started working in apologetics a number of years ago, and right now you're working on a book or a thesis that we hope will turn into a book on artificial intelligence.
Yes.
What's kind of the big idea of that project?
Yeah, so there have been some people who have made claims that if we could create a soul in silicon, if we could create an artificial general intelligence, then that would be proof of Darwinian evolution, that a God was not needed in order for human intellect to exist, and therefore it would be evidence of atheism. So I'm pushing back on that idea from a Thomistic philosophical perspective, looking at, well, what is human intelligence? How is it different or similar? What can be replicated in artificial intelligence? Mm-hmm. And even if an artificial general intelligence were able to be created, would that be evidence of atheism? And so I push back on that idea.
And you talked about Thomism, which is when you say that, for those who don't know what Thomistic philosophy is, what is Thomism?
Yeah, so that would be the philosophy of Thomas Aquinas, who was from the 1200s. And so he had a hylomorphic perspective. He looked at reality as a composite of both form and matter. It's not, we're not just material, but we're not something like Descartes' substance dualism. And so he followed in the tradition of Aristotle and saw Nietzsche as a lot more, I don't want to say the word dualistic because that's an inaccurate, but that there was more than just the material, but it wasn't so distinct that we had problems of causality between like the soul and the body.
Well, that's going to be very interesting to see how that comes out. We've had a podcast recently with John Lennox on artificial intelligence and the future of humanity.
That's exciting.
And he's thought through a lot of these things. And it's a book that he's written, but he's continually revising it. He's going to come out with a second edition of it probably in another year or so.
I look forward to reading that.
Yeah, because he said the science is moving so quickly. And unfortunately, the ethical side moves at a slower pace.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the challenge of the church is to try to get up to date with what's going on with technology and with culture in some ways. Yeah. So tell us about apologetics on mission. That's one of the things you described earlier. What is that exactly?
Yeah, so we have found, I co-founded this with my former classmate, Ben Clifton from Biola University. And so we both had been doing apologetics in Africa separately for a number of years before we realized the other was doing this, and just started to feel a call for bringing apologetics to the people groups around the world who do not have immediate access to it. So because of technology, our ideas and our secular systems are going out to all corners of the globe. But because of the cost of living differences between these countries and ours, they can't afford to get the equipping and the training that we can. They can't afford to go to some of the universities that we do. And they can't afford to fly over the professional speakers that we have access to here in the States. And they can't get access to a lot of even the books and resources. They have it all on the internet, but other than what they can get on the internet, they are starved for some of these things. And so we decided that we wanted to take our classmates, anybody who is frustrated and looking for an opportunity to share their apologetic training in a larger atmosphere, to take that on mission to the ends of the earth. And so right now, we're focused in East Africa, and we're launching into Latin America as well.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier, I think, South Africa.
Yes.
You've kind of worked in South Africa. South Africa is distinct from a lot of the rest of Africa, right? Just in terms of culture and background. In East Africa, are there particular countries that you're focused on?
Yes. So we went on our first official mission with this ministry back in April, and we went to Uganda, and we did a summit with 11 different ministries, 25 different individuals from universities, apologetics missions, or ministries that were interested in bringing apologetics to the area from three different countries. So Uganda, Rwanda, and Kenya. We brought them all together, and we were like, let's strategize about how we can be intentional about bringing apologetics to East Africa. And so we really see ourselves as a catalytic ministry, trying to be strategic in creating self-sustaining apologetic communities around the world. And so building networks between people, not only doing apologetic events like conferences or seminars or even online virtual classes for them, but also being strategic in helping coordinate getting apologetic programs in their local seminaries.
So are you working with particular schools in that, or are you working with larger sort of national ministries in each of these countries?
Yeah, right now we're working with a lot of local ministries. We're also working with Reasons to Believe. They're one of our major kind of supporters and evangelists. And then also Ratio Christi. So we're trying to incorporate some of the multinational apologetics ministries, but we also want to enable the locals. So we're partnering with a lot of those ministries that are on the ground there as well, and their local seminaries.
So in Africa, I mean, it seems like to me the questions, apologetic questions, are going to be different than the questions you have in the West. Have you found that to be true?
Yes and no. So they are still struggling with a lot of the same questions that we have. So existence of God, has science overwritten faith, all of those kinds of things. However, there is also a lot more emphasis on problem of evil and suffering. They have experienced, very specifically because of COVID and the very strict lockdowns they had in Africa, there's a lot of questions about suffering and God caring about the Western church more than the African church. They also have questions about, is Christianity a white man's religion? And so they wrestle with those as well. So there are some that are unique to their area.
I was in South Africa recently, and one of the person I was asking about tone of the culture, and they said, well, in Africa, there aren't any atheists. So you're not going to find atheists. In other words, some of the questions, at least, apologetic questions, may be different the way you address those. But I like what you're sharing. So you mentioned Africa and then Latin America. Any particular reason for those particular spaces as opposed to Southeast Asia or some other places like that around the world?
So we would love to go all over the place. We actually have more opportunities than we have bodies to go right now. But Ben already had some major relationships in East Africa, so we picked that first. And then we brought on a new partner, and Doug has a bunch of relationships in Latin America, and God just seems to be blowing open the doors there. So going to Brazil and Honduras in the next couple of months to do some scouting to see what is really available. So
there's a challenge in South America and Latin America as well as Africa, and that is of the prosperity gospel. It's kind of a neo-Pentecostal moment for them. There are many Christians in Africa. There's 1.2, I didn't realize this, 1.2 billion people on the African continent. That's three times the population of North America. And there are more Christians in Africa than there are people in the United States. So over 360 million people. But a number of those are kind of given to a prosperity gospel. Is that an issue that you guys are trying to tackle as well?
Yes. So I think personally, part of the apologetic task is not only being able to confront other belief systems, but also be able to articulate what is authentic Christianity. Because we can't have a conversation with a Jehovah's Witness or a Muslim or a Mormon or anything like that and delineate what is correct or incorrect about their beliefs or our beliefs without knowing authentically what Christianity is. And I think that's where the prosperity gospel is easily tackled. If we're clear on what Christianity actually is, then it's very easy to have a conversation with somebody who's in that camp and see, like, delineate what's wrong.
Well, there's a lot of syncretism in Africa and South America. By that, I mean that they've taken many of their cherished beliefs from the past, and they've integrated those with the Christian faith. And part of that is has been the prosperity gospel. I encountered some people when I was at George Whitfield College who are working on a big project for Africa called the Generosity Project. They're trying to sort of counter this idea of prosperity gospel with another side about generosity and changing sort of the focus of that, which I thought was a brilliant way of setting the conversation.
I'm not familiar with his work, but I definitely find that interesting.
There's a number of scholars working on that. And as I get more information about it, I'll be glad to share it with you.
That'd be great.
So if people are interested in knowing more about what you're doing, Apologetics on Mission and taking this to the ends of the earth, how do they get information about that?
Yeah, so we're in the middle of a name change, so our website looks a little backwards right now. But if you go to apologeticsonmission.org, it will lead you to our website, and it will say Adventurous Apologetics right now because we're in the middle of that.
Adventurous Apologetics.
But you're welcome. ApologeticsOnMissions.org has a lot of initial information about us. And then if you're interested in getting connected more, whether you want to be someone who helps teach a class, whether you want to go on mission.
You train people as well? You train people to go, or do you just send those who've already been trained?
Both. We do training of Africans virtually to be equipped to continue to propagate apologetics in their local context. And then Christians in, I guess they could be from any country, but right now Western Christians who want to go on these missions, we equip them with the apologetic knowledge they already have to package it and deliver it. So one of the things that the seminaries don't always do is they give us a lot of really good information when you get an apologetics degree, but they don't teach you how to build a presentation, teach a class, you know, the kind of logistics of how do you deliver this great content that you got. So we help equipped Christians package this information and go on mission with us.
This sounds like an expensive endeavor. Just flying to East Africa and spending a week or 2 weeks or whatever it might be or longer. There's a lot involved in that. So how are you funded? How does that work?
So we are actually right in the middle of fundraising, trying to work through that. Mission Accelerate is actually helping us figure out how to go about funding this opportunity. So right now we have a handful of donors who've been pretty generous. All of us work on a volunteer basis right now. Mm-hmm. And so we're working to get our director's salary fundraised as well right now. So that's still something we're in the midst of figuring out if there's anybody interested in helping.
Yeah. So if they wanted to do that, if they felt moved, if they felt compelled, hey, this is something I'd want to be a part, how would that just go to the to your Adventurous Apologetics or apologeticsonmission.org?
Yeah, if you go to apologeticsonmission.org, there's an ability to donate from the website there, or you can schedule a Zoom call from there with us if you'd like more information, if that's something you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're here to be a part of a panel discussion at the Lanier Theological Library today with Mark Lanier, our founder, on his book, Atheism on Trial.
Yeah.
So we're excited that you're here, and this is your first visit, and we just look forward to having you back sometime.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Yeah. It's a joy to have you. Thanks very much.
One of the things I love about doing these podcasts is that inevitably I learned something, whether I wanted to or not. And today I did, and I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. For more info about our guest, check out our show notes. They're there for you. Subscribe to the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a comment. Rate us. You know the drill. We're on Apple and Google and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Stitcher and other places. I want to say thanks to those that make this podcast possible, for Kathy Capes, Jocelyn Solis, Phil Kagi, and the Lanier Foundation. Let's give it up for them. Cue the applause track. Thanks for listening.
I think as apologists and people in general, we need to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And I think that what that really means is we need to make sure that we're listening more than we're talking. We need to understand the people we're talking with by asking them questions and really taking the time to get to know them and their needs before we start to answer and provide answers for ourselves.